Blog Talk Radio.
Alafia, greetings and welcome to the Curator Read Room. You have your Omeika 7 in the house, your advisor, the one you need, and your advocate, the one you certainly want. Welcome to the Curator Read Room, and thanks for joining us this evening. We are working on our segment of health education. This is a two-part series, ladies and gentlemen. We started with the organic gardening yesterday, and we'll complete the remaining portion of the organic gardening. And I hope everyone's doing okay today. So how is the African family doing, and how are the children? Well, I would hope. I am because we are, and therefore I am. Once again, we'd like to thank you and give you those call numbers for the phone number, 646-478-0270. Please do call in with your questions. We definitely would like to solicit your participation in this segment of our show. In this segment of our show, we're going to continue on talking about organic gardening, facilities, places, and locations of grants and funding that teachers can qualify for. Right now, I'd like to take a station identification We're going to go right to the airtime for station identification, and we'll be right back at you in the air, ladies and gentlemen.
I'll be brief. I won't hold you up, right? So come see. I'll get straight to the point. In no time, I'll have you up out this joint. I'll be sure. I won't keep you like you're in some jury court, waiting while debating which plaintiff's case will prevail, or deciding which one will go to jail. Yeah, I'll hurry. You don't have to worry. I'm already fixing to get ready to. Before anyone hits the door, just remember, I still have the floor. I'm a poet, for those of you who don't know it, and it's been my real intention to show it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce our co-host for this evening. Terrell Garth is going to be joining me and supporting me with this topic, and I'd like to introduce Terrell Garth. Terrell Garth, are you on the air? You're in the air.
Yes, I am. Today I'm going to be reading about Inside Organics, Farmers and Research Team Up, How This Helps Organic Farmers Shape the Research being done by Roger Blombaum. Recent trends in organic research suggest that Midwest organic farmers may want to consider some questions who are the scientists doing organic research in your state. What kind of research is being done? Are these researchers reaching out to involve you in their work? Are they making a special effort to share the results? You may be interested in meeting the scientists at your land-grant university and is helping shape the organic research being done. But the scientists doing the research also be interested into making finding of what kind of research you think should be doing. It's no longer usual for organic researchers and organic farmers to get together and compare notes. A significant increase in organic research in the Midwest and the funding support is focusing new attention on farmer-friendly research and approaches on ways farmers and research can benefit from working together. Organic research proposals that include farmer involvement get extra points in competition for government and foundation research grants. The relationship between organic farmers and extension specialists also is changing. There is a shift away from the conventional extension model where extension specialists refer farm production problems to researchers addressing the problems and generate new knowledge, and extension specialists bringing the new knowledge back to farmers. It is becoming increasingly important to organic researchers to have access to certified organic land.
Thank you very much, Darrell, for that bit of factual information. And ladies and gentlemen, we are just about to set the course for you for the topic that we're about to present, and we are going to go right into our ritual. And as you know, as is always, we do prepare a ritual for you. And I'd like to go and get cleaned up, if you don't mind, and get myself all washed up for the ritual. And I'm going to see if I can talk with the elders in the audience and see if I have someone to purify me. Will you please purify me, please, Jamil?
Purification has begun. And you are pure.
Thank you so very much, Jamil. And I do see an elder, and I'm going to ask her permission to speak. And elder, do I have permission to speak?
Yes, by all means, you have permission to speak.
Thank you so much, elder. And as I proceed on with the ritual, as I indicated earlier, we will be doing our family pledge from here on out, as well as our allegiance to our flag. As I am purified now, I will commence with the ceremony. As I call forth the ancestors from the east and from the west, I ask those ancestors to come and be a part of our ceremony, to also give us the authority and their witness here today that we have given our Owi, the Hamet, our head, who allows us to have wisdom and who also begets knowledge. We thank you for our elder brother, which is Jesus Christ. We acknowledge him as well For those of you who would like to participate in this ceremony, it is okay to give your head homage and call on your ancestors. So as I pour libation to the east, all four cardinal directions of the earth, I pour libations to the north. Then I pour libations to the south and east. In pouring libations, I ask for the universe to give up and to give out and to give in. We ask for the nature, Mother Nature herself, to come and support us. As we invite our ancestors in, we set a table, a place for our ancestors, remembering that through the middle passage which they traveled and came here to this land, this desolate land, it is the reason that we are able to speak today and be unmolested because of the journey they made across the Atlantic Ocean here to the United States in the ships, in the bottom of the ships, of the ship called Jesus, coming across the Pacific. We are able to stand here speaking to you unmolested today. We have our freedom. I ask the question once again, now that you have your freedom, what are you going to do with it? As I prepare for this ceremony, I ask that you participate in this segment of the ceremony with me as we call out the names of our heroes and sheroes, and as we commence to call our personal ancestors and give them homage. Join with me, ladies and gentlemen, by sanctuating the situation and consummating it by saying Ashe. And the word Ashe means, so be it, so let it be done. Gentlemen, we'll commence with the ceremony, and we'll ask our listening audience to commence by saying Ashe. Thank you so much. As we call on the name of Harriet Tubman, we say Ashe. As I call on the name of Langston Hughes, I say Ashe. Calling on the name of Leontine Price, Ashe. Calling on Louis Armstrong, Ashe. Calling on the name of Rosa Parks, Ashe. Calling on Thurgood Marshall, Ashe. Calling on the name of Madam C.J. Walker, Ashe. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Ashe. We call on the Mayor Harold Washington, the Honorable Harold Washington, Ashe. We call on the name of, W.E.B. Du Bois, Ashe. We call on Zora Neale Hurston, Ashe. As I proceed to call on my personal deities and ancestors, please join with me by reciting your family's name. I'll call on my mother and father's spirit and then my Orisha. My mother's spirit, we call on the name of Clara Mae Jenkins, Ashe. We call on the name of Robert Jenkins, Ashe. We call on the name of Tommy P. Harvey, Ashay. I like to call on the name of Esther Lee Pope. Ashay. George Lilly. Ashay. Sam Lilly. Ashay. Bessie Lilly. Ashay. Aunt Isa Lilly. Ashay. We call on the name of Mary Lou Hawkins. Ashay. Eugene Lilly. Ashay. Marvin Lilly. Ashay. We call on the name of Uncle Sam Lilly. Ashay. Uncle George Lilly. Ashay. And we call Michelle Harvey. Ashay. Michael Harvey. Ashay. We say, let it be, so let it be done. We ask the ancestors to sanctify what we've done, to consummate what we've done in calling their names. May their names forevermore be remembered, and may they forevermore be satisfied with us. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for allowing us to call forth the ancestors in that manner. We thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to proceed by doing our pledge, our family pledge. Ladies and gentlemen, are you still in the audience? You're still with us? Thank you so much. Having a little technical difficulty with the other line. Just bear with us. We are going to proceed with our ceremony. With the family life pledge, I ask you to stand for the pledge family, and that you post this somewhere in your home and continually recite this pledge for your family. This is a pledge that is done by Dr. Maya Angelou, the Black Family Pledge. Because we have forgotten our ancestors, our children no longer give us promise. Because we have lost the past, our ancestors clear, kneeling in perilous undergrowth. With our children, they cannot hear us cry. Because we have abandoned our wisdom of mothering and fathering, our befuddled children, their first children, they neither want nor understand. Because we have forgotten how to love the adversity that has written our gates and holds up the mirror of the world, shouting, "We guard the lovely." Therefore, we pledge to bind ourselves to one another, to embrace one lowliest, to keep company with our lowliest, and to educate our illiterate, to feed our starving, clothe our ragged. Do all good things, knowing that we are more than keepers of our brothers and sisters. We are our brothers and sisters in honor of those who toil and influence
God with golden tongues and gratitude to the same God who brought us out of hopeless desolation. We make this pledge. It's a pledge to our family. We ask that God is pleased with the pledge that we have committed to find ourselves to. May we evermore remember that the family is the closest thing to God, and we ordain families, and may the families begin to learn the proper way of serving to one another as and brothers. We thank you for that prayer, and we ask that you inspire it to reality and restore that to us. Our allegiance to the flag of the UNIA is the flag that is flying over Africa, the red, black, and blue. Please join me, learn this flag, and recite it periodically. Here's to the flag of mine, the red, black, and green. Oh, since you survived Africa at me. Here's to the red of it, great nation, y'all know this. Ten times come. Red Marchum, long of it, historian, tell us. Great flag of mine. Here's to the black of it, 400 million back of it, whose destiny depends on it. The red, black, and green of it, oh, flag of mine. Here's to the green of it, young men shall dream of it. Face, sap, and build of it. Making so sing of it. Waving so high. Here's to the whole of it. Colors, water, and soul of it. Please give my soul with this. Here, regardless of what gets told of it. Thanks to God for giving it. Great flag of mine. Ladies and gentlemen, you want to keep the children that flag, the allegiance of their flag, and tell them periodically that they are tied to a mandate, and that we are from a country, and that we have a culture and not a religion. It makes them feel proud, not arrogant, but it makes them feel like they're connected and belong to something. They're not actually standing on the outside looking good. But we were the ones that helped usher in all to the mountain. And from our loins sprung civilization itself. Help them to know that they were part of this great creation, mothers and fathers. Help them to understand what initiation means. And to get ready for this fight. We are going to show you the proper way to initiate your sons and daughters. Man and woman. Rituals for ordained. Just as you do the Last Supper in the church and drink the blood and eat the body. It is no different from Africa. We too have rituals and must exercise them periodically. It is no sin that we should be on a reservation, teaching and recommending and instructing how to carry out our rituals. If we forget our rituals, this will cause our ancestors to forget about us. That's why they forget that we remember to pay homage to them. Now bow with me as I offer a prayer for today. Pray in this manner, mothers and fathers, if you are without words, our Father, which are in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And I'm going to see if I have an elder out there that can feel the Lord's Prayer for me. Do I have an elder in the audience that can offer up the Lord's Prayer? If we have an elder out there. Thank you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki Yawm ad-Din. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. And it's Sirat al-Mustaqim. Sirat al-Ladina. And then Talayhim. Qara'id al-Mahdubi alayhim. In the name of the Beneficent, Merciful, we give praise and we give honor. And we thank you for allowing us to give you a cultural prayer from the Islamic version. And we look to give different cultural prayers, different versions of different beliefs. We thank you.
Thank you, Elder, for that prayer. Thank you so much, Elder, for that prayer. And we'd like to proceed with our ceremony by saying, ladies and gentlemen, it is in order that we should give prayer from different perspectives. As I told you earlier, I am Christian because I am solidified in Christ. I am Islamic because I am one who submits to Allah. I am also African spiritualist because I submit to spirituality. I am also Jewish because I submit to Jewish faith. I open myself to understand all denominations of people because we all drink from one spirit. And as you begin to come to this room to sit and sup, learning about all of the various different denominations would allow you not to be stuck on frozen viewpoints, but to open yourself to understanding that religion and all forms of prayer as a vibration, whether you sit and count breaths, whether you meditate on the word, whether you speak in Islamic tongue, whether you chant in Buddhas, whether you speak in the African way of Yoruba, you are all welcome, and God honors and values all frequencies. Our frequencies go out into the atmosphere, and those frequencies are connected with our higher selves, and whatever is above, it is below. You are not looking for someone in the atmosphere to hear your prayers, but you are speaking to yourself, ladies and gentlemen, your higher self, your Ori. As I try to explain to you from the perspective of the Yoruba, you speak to your higher self, which is your Ori, the Godhead that was assigned to you. And that Godhead collaborates with you on one accord, so you and that Godhead co-laboring together will get the job done of what it is you are asking the universe to perform for you. As you get to know more and more about yourself, you will love yourself, and you will begin to see that there is some good thing, and a bomb can be found in Gilead. That bomb is right in you, ladies and gentlemen. If there were never any church or any biblio or manual to guide you, spirituality would come up out of you. You are a spiritual people. Now be he who you are. Be spiritual and understand that in you there is a bomb and there is instructions of spirituality. You chant because in the African tradition, this is what is called for in their African religion. You also speak the words of Islamic because that is called upon. It is nothing wrong with learning all denominations of religion. What is an error is that we become stuck on frozen viewpoint and become stiff-necked people where we think our way is the only way. There is more than one way to get the ear of the king, ladies and gentlemen. You must remember your higher self cannot leave you. Your higher self will go all the way with you, which is the Ori. We will do more teaching on the Ori on this Friday and give you more of an introduction as who you are speaking to in the atmosphere and why you are calling on your Ori. Your Ori is who you should give homage to today. Give homage to your Ori today, your higher self, the Godhead who lives inside of you. I'd like to thank you for going all the way with us on this segment. I'd like to also admonish you for being a part of our ceremony, and do come in and formalize your questions. Tomorrow you will have questions to ask on the rituals that we are prepared to offer up as we offer up the transition of two young men into manhood, giving them their prayer beads and sanctioning them to be able to go before the throne. Now that the veil has been torn, they can petition on their own behalf to speak to their higher self. You do it every day, periodically remembering your ancestors, thanking your ancestors for all that they do for you. Because it is your ancestors, call on your ancestors, Eli, that has the most vested interest in you. Don't ever forget that. And know that there is no form of being out in the atmosphere that's waiting for you to call. They don't know you. And don't get it twisted. Your ancestors are the ones fighting for you every day. They are the one making the door and the way plain and clear for you to travel. You're the sum total of why they came. So we'd like to thank you during this segment, and we bid you good success, good tidings, and we ask that you continue to feed your head and to feed knowledge to your children as you go about your day pouring libation, offering up prayer, vibrational prayer. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Now, as we get prepared to go into our topic for this evening, as you know, this is part two of the topic that we discussed on organic gardening. Terrell gave you a little bit of information, of factual information, coming from the Moses Organization. Just a little rehash on yesterday's segment. We talked about Moses Organization, and that organization has organic broadcasting. We gave out information on where you can locate that newspaper, how you can obtain that newspaper on a weekly or quarterly basis. And we also talked about grant writing and where you could go to obtain federal and state grants that were available for farmers as well as for educators. Now, today's segment will be talking to the teachers once again. Now, if you happen to be a farmer out there and you're not a teacher, that's fine too. But I want to employ the teachers to let them know that education is very much in demand when it comes to working with the farmers. As you know, the farmers have to be re-educated. New things have come about. They're going to have to be retrained on the new technology. So they want to use educators to be trained so they can go into these institutions and retrain these lay persons who work as farmers and giving them more agricultural background so that they can best figure out how to become certified organic gardeners. That's right. You cannot just hold yourself out to be an organic gardener just because you throw a few fertilized seeds down or if you throw composites down. Yes, farmers, there's going to have to be advocates and educators to train you and teach you so that you can sit for your certification, so you're endorsed and properly endorsed at that. Now, what are you saying, Omi? You mean these farmers are going to have to get themselves together, start pushing the pencil, taking classes, and learning how to go back to school. That's exactly what I'm saying. The government has put so much money into sustainability, and they are urging women to get involved with producing gardens and producing crops that they can actually manufacture, put on the shelves, and sell. There's an extra incentive for female business, extra incentives for women to get involved with this training. So if you are a female farmer, there are exceptional opportunities being made for you. What are you saying, Omi? Are you saying if I'm a female, then I'm going to be given favor to get involved in organic gardening? Yes, I am. And one thing you might want to start, for starters, you might want to start Googling composites and all of the organizations that are out there for teachers. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. Pardon me. All of the organizations that are out there for teachers that they can become a part or a member of, there are classes tons of classes on how to create composites and put together recycling non-fertilizers that will actually help you to grow an organic garden. Now, you must follow all of the preceding requirements because once you take the classes, you are going to have to know what courses you need for the certification. When you're endorsed with the certification, that means you can stamp everything that you produce as being a certified organic gardener. Now, what does that do for you as far as marketability? Well, it makes you more marketable. It makes your materials more in demand. Ladies and gentlemen, pardon me while I go to station identification. You have the mind of Christ.
Mind of Peace, arranged by the author Sherelle Omiika Bidiako Garth. You have the mind of peace that just won't cease. Keep your mind stayed on Him and your peace. It will continue to increase. Create the mind of peace within you, which was also in the Creator too. Now you know just what to do. Be strong in the power of His might and don't give up this fight. Walk in the spirit and not in sight. At times, it will look like the enemy is winning, you'll think. And just when you're at the end of your brink, he'll throw you a lifeline so you won't sink. When you send out the SOS sign, then you would have already completed the test. You have the mind of peace that just won't cease. Keep your mind stayed on him, and your peace will continue to increase. Now remember that you are no longer held at ransom because the debt was paid with quite a handsome price for your peace that will continue to increase. With a mind stayed on him, your peace will continue to increase.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, and we're back. You're in the atmosphere. Once again, thank you for joining the Care to Read Room. I'd like to feature at this particular time the Omiika's Corner, the book corner of the two books that we're recommending for today. And before we get too far into our topic, I definitely want to take a little time to highlight those books. And as you know, we have been featuring the book, The Power of the Platform, Speakers on Purpose. And we've had Mrs. Robbie Cheney in our room speaking. She is a keynote speaker and motivational speaker on coaching and job transitioning. We are going to have a special guest tomorrow. He will also be one of the speakers from this bureau speaking tomorrow. He will be participating in our ritual and part of our show. He will be speaking from his perspective on tomorrow. You definitely want to come and join us. Now, the power of the platform, ladies and gentlemen, it's from a conventional capital of the world of Las Vegas convention speakers. This particular bureau only accepts certain people to speak in their bureau, and they are exceptional speakers, and most of them are dealing with New Thought philosophy. And I don't know if you know what New Thought is. It's basically dealing with the Christian Science, which focuses in on affirmation and scientific help and healing. So they believe that you're already healed and that basically most of what you're seeing is an illusion and it's in your mind. So they're part of Michael Beckwith's group who does The Secret. And hopefully we are going to try to get connected to what they're doing in that area. And tomorrow we have a treat for you. The gentleman that works with the actual movie, The Secret, he's going to be working with a brand new video that's due to come out, and he will come on later on our show, and he's going to be featuring some new segments of this video, and he's going to make that video available to our listening audience. This gentleman that's going to speak tomorrow will be talking a little bit about his experience in working with the scientific understanding of Napoleon Hill's philosophy, Think and Grow Rich, and what it means to transition into manhood. So you don't want to miss that segment. He is also a part of this particular book as well, The Power of the Platform. Now, I told you about the other book, and the other book that I was featuring is the Going Global Beyond the Boundaries. And this is an opportunity for those people to work with black churches going abroad and creating the communication that they need to do in order to connect people back to their eldest brother, Jesus Christ. Now, this particular book shows churches how to do tours and working with the missionaries abroad. You definitely want to get a copy of this book. It's by Carl Ellis, Jr. This is an excellent book to read that will help your churches. This is a book that you want to make sure all the missionaries have. And I featured this book because it is a book designed for African Americans to get involved with doing their missionary work. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to zoom right back into our topic, and I hope you put those books aside and you can access them because they are readily made available. Now, tomorrow, the gentleman that's going to speak tomorrow, he will make his books available to you. He also created a book, and he's going to give you more information on that. I don't want to give out too much information on that, but we are going to have a fantastic show for you tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. So do call in with your questions and answers. And once again, that call number is 646-478-0270. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking about organic gardening. You're probably saying, Omi, are you a gardener? And what's up with this gardening, Omi? What are you just talking about gardening? Oh, I am a green thumb. For your information, I used to be known as one of the gardeners of the community, and I shared my abundance with the community, giving them parts of what came out of my garden in the area of collard greens, mustard greens, turnip greens, and I shared baskets of food with them, but I was doing it the wrong way, ladies and gentlemen. I thought it was okay to put that fertilizer in there, and believe you me, I took a whole year to condition that ground, breaking up all the clay the first year. Then I came back and put my fertilizer in there. I thought I was doing something. You know, I really thought I was into something when I saw that my crops produced double. I didn't realize that I was killing the good part of the vegetable with all these fertilizer, plus I was contaminating the soil. I had to be schooled. I had to be trained. I found out about organic gardening, and I vowed that I would never put fertilizer in my garden again. I was secretly doing it, thinking that no one would ever notice, but at the same time, I was harming myself. When I found out that you can get into organic gardening, by all means, I wanted a greenhouse. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, only wanted a greenhouse. I started in my kitchen, started planting these pots of vegetables in my kitchen, and I said, maybe I can learn the organic garden in my kitchen. So when I lived in Illinois, I spent a lot of time potting everything from my kitchen, and I thought as I grew in knowledge that I could advance myself to an outside organic garden. People kept asking, Omi, where's your garden this year? Why didn't you garden this year? I kept saying, well, I got to redo everything. I got to learn all over again. And that's exactly what I have to do. Now, some of you on Harambe noticed that I had put down a marketing program for sustainability. That's right. I was selected to work with the women here in the state of Indiana to help inform them about sustainability and being a part of those women who are going to submit their applications to obtain funding to get started with those brand new gardens. And that's what I'm hoping to do today, to inform a lot of women who might not know anything about the opportunity that exists for female gardeners and for those who already know, to reacquaint those older members. You can get involved in producing your own product. Now, it doesn't just have to be greens and beans and corns and stuff. Ladies, you can get in that kitchen and whip up a formula and put your name on it. you could make something called yam butter. You could go in there and grow your own yams, produce your own yams, and then begin to design your own recipe for yam butter. Then put it on the shelf and label it. This is what I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, when you're creating your own institution. The government wants to help you. They want to allow you to become a producer of your own products. Now, say, for example, you're into sabbaticals and spas, and you want to create a whole line of products that are under your spas. You can make edible spa products that you use on your face and your body that are edible. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You can go in and get that apricot, making apricot scrub, growing your own vines of berries and apricots. And when you harvest these things, they come right out of your garden. And if you have the fruit garden, then you can produce these products and you can sell them under your name. That's what Omi's talking about, working for yourself. Understanding that alchemy is an energy and you can call it to yourself. When you call it to yourself and you produce many streams of income through developing a product line, then lecturing, then possibly doing intern and fellowship programs at the college where you're teaching about agriculture, you begin to create many streams of income just from gardening. Then you become an institution, ladies, like Omi is trying to be. Haven't you noticed? I'm everywhere you go. You go on Facebook, there's Omi. You go on Twitter, there's Omi. Omi is aiming to produce something, either through tapes, recordings, books, but I'm going to reproduce after its own kind. Being a God, that's all you can do is perfect. So start perfecting, ladies. Create your own products. Be a household name. Don't just be on the outside of the scheme of things looking in. Be an institution. The government wants to help you in that respect. They've set aside money, and I gave you the names of the grants that are out there. Check your RSVPs. Now, there is a young lady that I worked with who asked me to get women together so that she can come and speak to them, and she is from the Organization of Moses. Her job is to go from state to state, getting women organized so they can formalize their garden, teaching them about the proper seeds, how to crop the garden, how to produce products from the garden, and how to become a manufacturer. And she's asked me to work with the state of Indiana in organizing those women. This is just the tip of the iceberg. In producing an actual kickoff program, we are going to be doing a peace concert. And that peace concert is to talk to women about producing a greenhouse in their home for every family so that every family can produce products to live from in their household. And upon them producing their own products, they can then start to develop products that they can use out in the vineyard and market on the courtyard. Ladies and gentlemen, you are going to see Dick Run and see Jane Flourish. That's what the topic is about. And we have packages of information on how to produce seeds, how to select seeds, which seeds are the best seeds to plant. And then we matriculate from that, understanding topsoil, how to look for the silt in the soil, and finding out what do you need to do to condition the soil. Is there too much clay in the soil? Do you need to build your soil up? That is a task, ladies and gentlemen. If you have bad soil and you need to recondition your soil, you are going to go through many phases of training, understanding just the agriculture of the soil. Now, let me tell you about the sustainability part. Ladies and gentlemen, sustainability means you are maintaining from your own substance. Now, for those of you who are not farmers and who do not produce cattle, chickens, and pigs, vegetation is a little different. You don't have to produce cows and cattle and milk. But I wanted to tell you, we did do a segment on raw milk. It would behoove you to get an understanding of where you can get raw milk. And if you can produce raw milk, that would be fantastic because it is so much in demand. And they found out so many great things about colostrum. Now, most of your farms can also be farms that work with fruits, and you can have your own grapevine. And I don't mean the kind that gossip and pass information. I mean real grapevine where you're doing something with the grapes to make grape jelly, grape juice, making all types of products that you put on your skin and your face. Ladies and gentlemen, don't think that these things cropped up overnight. People had to sit down and explore. They had to have meetings. They had to research. And they had to have chemists. And they had to go into the laboratories and test and more tests. Now, if you are very, very fond of handling fruits and vegetables, you could even have a watermelon patch where you're growing watermelons. I know one farmer right now that is producing watermelons in Mississippi, and she is working towards her organic gardening license. Now, there is a whole slew of bureaucracy that you have to cut through in order to get your license, but don't be deterred. Don't be set out or put back. Go the distance. Find out what your state requires for your licensing. Get involved and start the process. You'll be glad you did. Because at one point, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to have to consider growing our own crop because the crop that is being produced now, they've already indicated to us that it is void of the minerals and trace minerals. So what we're producing is inferior vegetables. And if it gets worse, we are going to have vegetables void of any nutrition, and you want to make sure you are about the business of learning how to grow your own. What I'm saying to those teachers, you could get your students involved, involving systemically lesson plans, curriculums, and field trips that center around organic gardening so that you can advance that into the community, ladies and gentlemen. And teachers, you can show your children about the force, about the cycles of life, explaining to them the process of a seed and how it germinates and how it grows, giving them an in-depth knowledge. Now, teachers, don't forget about the grants that I told you about. You're going to need a team of people. You're going to need someone that is familiar with grant writing and grant reading because they are not playing with you. When you submit that document and answer the RFP, if you do not follow the proper instructions, if you deter one iota from the instructions, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Your grant gets put on the wayside, and it might not get picked back up again. We just don't have the time to read people's documents who didn't follow instructions. Why are you saying that, Omi? Because Omi is a grant reader, and I have read grants for 2 years for an organization that trained us and a lot of time showing us what to look for, how to use the Rubik's Cube to give these points to each category and to properly be fair enough to execute the points so that we work on a point system. And those who have met the criteria for the points, those are the ones that we are going to extend the grant funding to. Now, this is not saying that I'm going to be on the grant committee for the organic gardening. I'm telling you how it works when you read the grant. Now, it's just as much work that goes into reading because you have to know what you're looking for. You have to find out where are the matching funds. Has the candidate made contact with the representative who will be matching those funds? Have they identified who the person is? You just can't tell the grant proposal that you're going to find someone to match your funds. You have to know who it is in advance, and you have to know exactly what they're going to be matching. They want to know how are you going to sustain yourself? How are you going to keep this grant going? if you can only sustain it for the year that they give you the funds, then it is not cost-effective for them to pour money to bad. So you have to know how you're going to keep this project going. Now, let me also say that it is possible to collaborate with other existing 501(c)s and other for-profit organizations who are willing to match your funds and to assist you. You definitely want to have professionals on your board when they are helping you to write grants, someone who has background knowledge. So as you begin to prepare to write these grants, you must know deadlines, time constraints, and when you have to have these grants in. You must also know, is there a date that it has to hit the mailbox and a date that it has to cross the thresholds of that grant writing institute. Putting time into writing a grant, ladies and gentlemen, takes long-term planning. You just don't get up one morning and scratch your head and say, I think I'll write a grant. I can't tell you how many people that said, can you write a grant for me? I look at the people like they've lost their ever-loving mind. When you commit to writing a grant, do you not know that you're in a binding situation where you need to be written into that grant so that you're getting fees for what you're doing? And you just don't write grants for people for the sake of doing it, because it's a lot of time committed to that. Not to mention the typing, but you have got to have things sorted out. You have got to have somewhat of a lesson plan mapped out as to how you're going to do every intricate part of that grant. You have to know who are your marketers out there that you're going to buy supplies from. How do you propose to have goals and objectives, 5-year goals, 2-year goals? So you have got to have this thing planned out. You can't go in there saying, well, I'm just going to do the grant for 1 year. Then think on this. Nobody's going to give you money to waste for 1 year. You've got to make sure it extends out for at least a minimum of 3 years, and you're going to service a general population. You have to know your geographical area. Who are you serving? What are the needs of that area? And if you are serving those people, how will they benefit from your service to that community? Now, teachers, you need to get more involved, because there are so many grants that go unwritten because teachers don't find the time to do it. They think it's too much time. Most of what you do every day in writing your lesson plans are similar to sitting down answering a RFVP. Now, I'm going to bring this discussion to a close, but not to an end, by saying the grants are available to you, ladies and gentlemen. And there is so many urgencies to employ women to be a part of sustainability, recycling, getting involved in understanding gardening, and you can get involved with OMI if you're interested. We are trying to get women connected to setting up and organizing themselves to have a garden in their community. As we get ready to go out of here, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that this is a very important topic, and you certainly want to come back and listen to it. I would like to implore you also to join us tomorrow in our next segment that we're going to be featuring, and this is a segment on special initiation of transitioning men and women into men and womanhood. We're just going to do the male tomorrow, and then we are going to, at a later date, talk about initiating the female child. But tomorrow is for the male child. You definitely want to tune in. Now, join me as I get ready to leave out of here. We know we can do this with success.
Calling us to be world is ready. The time is right. It's time that we unite.
We unite.
Together we can do it.
I know.
Together we can. Together we can do it. Yes, we can.
Nature will be so grateful to you for doing it. She'll open up her vineyard and pour out a blessing that you can't receive. Pressed down, measured together, shaken together, and running over in your bosom. You can do this today, teachers. I know you can. I have faith in you. I believe you can do this because Africans are always perfecting. I'd like to send out three shouts into the atmosphere for our sister neighboring radio station, Harambe. I like to say Harambe, Harambe, Harambe. Hello, Damani Amnon, and I hope you are perfecting. And as we perfect in gardening and learning the tools and art of grant writing, grant reading, as well as producing our gardens, I hope this segment has been educational and beneficial to you, teachers. Now, you want to get up off your assets and do something about incorporating this lesson into your lesson plan, writing for grants that are available to you, contacting OMI, asking OMI how you can get involved in grant reading, and perhaps producing your own grants and fundraisers. But most of all, do something, because we have wasted so much time, ladies and gentlemen. There's so much to our disposal, and we were once farmers. We once produced crops. It is not undignified to be a farmer and an agriculture and cropping our land. It is a blessing to know how to produce for your own family and showing others how to produce. Now, you want to get this lesson, ladies and gentlemen. I wouldn't tell you nothing wrong. This is your OMI talking to you. I am your advisor, the one you need, and the advocate you certainly want. So please, walk after your own kind. If I am doing these things, you want to find out what OMI is doing. And ladies and gentlemen, let me let you in on a tip. Everything I'm telling you is going to be in OMI's new book, How to Be an Advisor Like OMI, How to Be an Advocate Like OMI. You're going to be able to read it there. It'll be printed out so you can read it and follow through. You bet that you're going to find a book on these two topics. I'm not just talking to hear myself talk. I got something to give to you, honey, and I'm going to give it all to you if you just allow me. This is your OMI coming at you. I'm live and clear in the audience speaking to you, letting you know that whatever I do to better myself, I'm going to help you better yourself. I'm not going to try to stifle you. I am not going to reinforce the willingness theory. I'm taking us out of that willingness theory so we can pull each other up out of the barrel. Because if one of us should perish, we all perish. The Africans believe that we start things together and we finish those things on time together. We are going to pull one another up by the bootstraps. And remember that OMI told you so. And if someone asks you, how do you know this? Tell them that OMI, my advisor, advised me. OMI, my advocate, gave me this information. And I'll be willing to back you 100% strong. So come on, let's perfect together as Africans do. Perfecting, my good people. And I want to say to you on that note, Jim Holtek. And I want to let you know that you can be a perfecter today. And I say to you, oh, Jabba and Baba Booey to you, y'all. Have a good evening.